You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
Part 3. Matt was trying to focus on the lecture, but his eyes kept darting around the lecture hall. The lights were on low as the professor was doing his lecture and showing slides on the projector, and the hall was shadowy. Sometimes when the slide changed, Matt looked carefully at the shadows, thinking that every single one of them might be the cougar. He wasn't worried that it would attack him in the middle of the class. If it had wanted him dead, it would have had plenty of opportunities already. But it still felt odd to have it around. He felt better about it now, though. Having the detectives believe him had a comforting effect. He even felt a little calmer about his new powers. Next to him, Brian gave him a soft tap with his leg and nodded at his computer screen, where a chat window had opened. Brian.
What's the matter, man? You look like you're checking for snipers.
Matt shook his head and typed back.
No, just not feeling focused today.
Are you coming over tonight? We could go explore the dragon caves in the south.
I don't think so. I've got a meeting with some people.
Meeting about what?
Matt closed his eyes. He wasn't sure he wanted to tell Brian about the invisible cougar. Not yet. It might be the thing that would make all his new friends think he was not worth having around anymore.
It's just some private stuff. I'll tell you about it later.
Brian shrugged.
Okay, suit yourself. But Wolf Chong and I are playing no matter what. If we leave you behind on experience points, it's your own fault.
Matt looked up from the screen and down at the foot of the hall where the professor was standing in front of the teacher's podium. Right next to him, almost stepping on his left shoe, in fact, stood the cougar. It looked up at Matt, head cocked to one side like a cartoon character expressing regret. Its eyes were locked on him, and when its face split in something that could only be a grin, Matt could see its teeth. No one else in the auditorium seemed to notice the creature, which meant that what he had suspected all along was true. He was the only one who could actually see it. He looked around for Andrew, who sat in the back of the auditorium, but he was busy with his cell phone and wasn't looking. The cougar moved its tail back and forth like a pendulum, looking at him, then up at the professor, then back to him. It tilted its head like it was asking a question. What's he saying, maybe, or why are you listening to this? He didn't know what, but he knew he would have a very hard time concentrating with it standing there for the rest of the lecture. Fortunately, he didn't have to. After giving him another toothy grin, it turned around and walked down through the rows of seats, out of his eyeline. He turned his head, trying to follow it, and immediately got a reproachful comment from the professor.
"Am I boring you, Mr. Boyle?"
Matt turned his head and looked at the front again. The cougar had vanished, and if the other times had been any indication, it would stay away for a little while, coming back when he was by himself. This was the first time, however, it had shown itself this way, in such a public, open space filled with people. He wondered what had caused it. Maybe it was because he had approached the Tempest team.
No, sir, sorry. I thought I heard someone calling, he said.
The professor nodded and continued with his lecture. Brian looked at him again and quickly typed,
"You look awful, man. What did you hear, really?"
"Nothing. It's a long story, like I said. I'll tell you later."
Brian looked concerned, but didn't ask any more questions.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
As soon as the lecture ended, Matt was up and moving. He got a hold of Andrew, who had sat somewhere in the back of the room, explained what had happened and what he had seen. Andrew suggested that they head back to the office, and Matt agreed. They took Andrew's bike and were quickly back at Market Street. Mercedes was still behind the desk in the lobby, but she had obviously finished her administrative work for the day. She was leaning back in her chair, using her phone with one hand and drinking a cup of coffee with the other. She smiled at him as he entered.
How was school? Or I suppose you don't really say it like that when you're in college, do you?
You can say school. It's fine. And it was okay, but a little strange. The cougar, it showed up at my lecture hall today.
Really?
Mercedes gestured for him to sit in the chair in front of her desk.
Anyone else see it?
No. It's absolutely invisible. My best friend was looking right at it, and he didn't see a thing. Neither did Andrew.
Andrew shook his head. I was actually busy reading, but there was no sign of it that I saw.
Well, maybe we're going to be able to help you with seeing it. Jim came back with a book about how to make it visible.
Matt looked relieved.
That sounds good. At least that's a start, right?
Maybe. He's in the office. Let's go on in and see what he came up with.
She got up, gestured for him to follow her, and knocked on the door to Jim's office.
Jim? Matt's here.
Come on in.
Jim's voice sounded from the inside, and when Mercedes, Andrew, and Matt entered, they saw Jim seated on the couch, a large book lying open in front of him on the end table. Jim looked at Matt and pointed to it.
This is a little bit of light reading I got from a local wizard. I've been over it for the last hour or so, and it's pretty fascinating.
You have local wizards?
Matt asked.
We do. Several, in fact, although this particular one has been more helpful than most.
Okay. Does it say why that thing is following me?
Matt said.
It implies something, yes. Whether it's true or not, I suppose we'll find out once we summon the cougar. But as far as this book goes, it might be that you've been unwillingly linked to one of the most powerful spirits in the world.
How? What did I do?
Jim pointed to a chair.
Well, sit down and listen to a bit of an alternative history lesson. And before you decide to discount Native American magic as complete hogwash, I can tell you that not too long ago, we saw a girl use that kind of magic to not only make it rain, but also to grant wishes. It's not to be trifled with.
Matt's eyes lit up with excitement, and he sat down, looking at them. Mercedes settled on the armrest of the couch, and Andrew sat down on the edge of Jim's desk.
So, Jim began. Years and years ago, before the settlers came, I mean, the Native Americans had their own belief systems. Some of the stuff they believed in was sort of fiddled with when the Europeans arrived. Missionaries started converting them and that sort of thing. But if we go back to some of the purest, most native of their beliefs, they said that everything had spirits. Rocks, trees, birds, people, everything. There were powerful spirits and less powerful ones, obviously. Sometimes some of the powerful ones would become a totem for a person or a tribe, and they would honor it in turn.
Matt nodded, keeping his eyes on Jim.
Okay.
Now, some of the powerful spirits, of course, were from powerful animals. Bears, wolves, eagles, that sort of thing. Cougars had a very powerful spirit, often associated with leadership, balance, and self-confidence. Hence, the cougar spirit would often be the totem of a great leader or warrior. Are you with me this far?
Sure.
Now, of course, all the cougars had a spirit. Every single one, just like every single rock or tree. One of them, let's call it a cougar with a capital C, was the mother spirit of them all.
The main Manitou, you might say. I think that might be the one following you around.
Why? Why the Mother Spirit?
Because she was able to grant her favored ones the power of the cougar, just like you've got right now. Several other totems have this kind of mother totem, attaching itself to someone, granting strength, dexterity, or improved vision to the person. This book lists several cases, well, legends, of people claiming to have been, not possessed, but touched by the totem animals.
But why me? Why would it touch me?
Matt looked confused. Well, that's the $64,000 question, isn't it? Jim scratched his chin.
$64,000, Matt said. I thought it was supposed to be a million.
It used to be $64,000 when I was young, Jim said, and Mercedes cocked her thumb at Jim.
Don't mind him. He's a lot older than he looks. It's hard to keep up with the slang terms.
I was thinking, Andrew said, if we might have any luck contacting the Ohlone tribe. After we helped them last year, we might be able to convince them to help us now.
On the other hand, would you want three white guys and a Latino girl meddling in your spiritual affairs if you had any say in it?
Mercedes said.
I don't think they'll be crazy about that idea. I know how I'd feel if someone else was summoning the Virgin de Guadalupe.
Okay, I see your point. We'll do it by ourselves, then. Andrew looked at the book again.
There's a whole ritual in here for it. Should we do it in the basement again? No, the floor still has that Seal of Solomon thing on it, Mercedes said. If we summon it down there, it's just going to look like we want to trap it.
Exactly, Jim closed the book. And besides, the cougar wouldn't want to come to a smelly basement in a house downtown. We need to find a place it would enjoy coming to, a peaceful place, out in the open somewhere.
Oh, I don't know. It seemed perfectly at ease in my house the other day, Matt said. Where did you say you first saw it?
Andrew said.
The park, right? Yeah, in Golden Gate Park. I know my way around there,
Andrew said. It's pretty big, even for someone like me, who enjoys the open country.
I go there for a walk sometimes, and there's a nice little private spot not too far from Stowe Lake, on a little hill. That might work.
All right. Jim got up and took the pack of herbs he'd gotten from Darcy. He put it in his pocket. First, let's grab something to eat. And once it's gotten dark enough that people will have cleared out of the park, let's go see about summoning a cougar.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.